You've got troubleshooting to do once you hook everything up. Lights that might not turn on, or breakers that might trip, or outlets that were wired backwards with a hot and a neutral backwards. So typically we have issues once we hook up the house that we have to go back and troubleshoot to make sure everything works. We have to make sure everything works regardless. But then if it doesn't work, we have to be the ones to troubleshoot something that was built in a factory.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Off-site construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, Audrey, we have Travis Newton with Evergreen Electrical Services. We're going to start taking a deeper dive here and talk with some of the subcontractors that make whatever house come to life. Excited to learn about and talk electrical when it comes to system build. What do you say? Let's talk electrical.
Let's light it up.
What's your favorite beverage?
Anything with water in it?
Well, that's pretty much everything, then.
My favorite beverage after work is a Rusty Nail.
Rusty Nail?
What is in that?
I don't know that one.
It's, I don't either.
Johnny Walker Black and Drambuie. Two scotches.
Oh, nice. Wow. That sounds wicked.
Awesome.
Wicked yummy, huh?
I guess it's like red wine. Everybody likes what they like.
They do. Absolutely.
What's your favorite place you've traveled?
I guess probably I would say Paris.
Oh, cool. Tell us one story from that trip.
You never have enough time in Paris. You know, Paris is like New York, but with so much more art, museums, architecture. I'm a builder, so I like architecture. New York is probably my second favorite city, so Paris is like New York, but with hundreds of year-old architecture. So I guess my favorite story would there probably be the food. The dinners are not as great as America. That's probably be the big, if you're going to go to Paris, the pastries and the breads and all the desserts are great, but the food is bland.
Really?
But the city is beautiful. It's a wonderful city.
Nice.
Nice people.
I want to
awesome.
Go. It's on my bucket list.
There you go. Tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
Lately it's my house. So I've got three, I guess you could say, pretty close to adult children. I've got two in college and one his last year in high school. So outside of work is more work and more work until the kids are gone, and then it'll be traveling.
Nice.
There you go. work hard and work hard now and play hard later. Huh?
Correct.
There you go. We got to know a little bit about Travis Newton, the owner at Evergreen Electrical Services. Tell us about your company and your story with Evergreen Electrical Services.
Evergreen's been around since 1998. It was a smaller family-owned business. I bought it in 2015 and with the intent to grow a company that was already doing pretty decent, but the owner wanted to retire. And so I've known the family for years and decided that I started in the electrical trades when I was 23. My brother became a master electrician before I got out of it and went into more of the building side of it instead of electrical. My brother continued on that. I bought Evergreen actually for my brother to run, but family and business doesn't always work out. So I run the company and he runs a different company.
Gotcha. Cool. So you took over a company just like my day-to-day Mountain View Window and Door. I bought a window company. So we can definitely exchange stories over that over the years as we get to know each other. Audrey, why have an electrician and specifically Travis into Studio SBL today?
Well, it's just one more component of building a home. And, you know, the interesting thing that I think Travis does, and I think he does it very well, he is a digital master, as I like to call it. He is very hyper-focused, has a great website. He's got a great platform, which I'm hoping that he'll speak to us today about how he collects information and he sends out bids for different projects. And maybe possibly just give an overview of, you know, what it takes to be an electrician on a system build home.
Awesome. And as a student here of offsite construction, as why we started this is I just really wanted to learn more about it as I've spent my career on the onsite and really a lot of my time has been on the high-end custom homes. And I like to kind of share some stories as to kind of tee this up to build the conversation today is that I've been selling windows and doors in Colorado throughout the state, and I was working for a window dealer in Breckenridge. Shout out to Gregory Door and Window. We were at a modular house. They had a high-end trailer park in Breckenridge, Colorado, and there was these prefab log houses that were getting shipped up there, and we're the high-end window dealer in town, and we get this phone call. Do you think you guys could come over here and help us with these windows? Because the homeowners are very upset because they were following their house through the tunnel, and it sounded like shotguns going off as the windows were exploding when they were coming through the pass. I'm like, came from Kansas, no breather tubes, small windows, exploding.
Wow.
Well, this couple, that was their vacation, you know, dream into this, and I say trailer park is kind of the what we think when we think trailer manufactured house. This is a beautiful spot that these are nice little, and it's a way to be your home away from home, but that's not really your first impression of your windows being exploded.
Right.
And then it's this turnkey hit a one button price, and now what do? Because the manufacturer was out of their zone and didn't understand pillowing and going to through the tunnel and the elevation. So then they're like, well, what does it cost to glass? I'm like, well, now you're into, well, maybe you should talk to the manufacturer where you bought those windows. Well, they don't come up there and they don't supply. And it's this back and forth thing. And I tell this story is because I grew up thinking it's just the PIA factor, if you will, that I didn't want to touch, manufacture that kind of stuff. And so we gave them the PIA price to replace their glass. Well, they had nowhere to go, but it was a huge downfall to build up their house. And correct me if I'm wrong, Travis, you've been at this electrical thing for a while, and you may have done some different offsite or modular housing in the past. What's your take on taking the plug-in like the Tesla car and just make it work when the offsite comes to the site? Have you ever had experiences with that?
If you have a good manufacturer, it works out good. But the major issue that we see is that most manufacturers hire guys for less money than what an offsite is. And you've got troubleshooting to do once you hook everything up. Lights that might not turn on, or breakers that might trip, or outlets that were wired backwards with a hot and a neutral backwards. So typically, we have issues once we hook up the house that we have to go back and troubleshoot to make sure everything works. We have to make sure everything works regardless. But then if it doesn't work, we have to be the ones to troubleshoot something that was built in a factory. The one nice thing about doing multiple same factory units is you know exactly how they wire something. Most of those come with a pretty decent wiring diagram. And then most of the mistakes are rookie mistakes, hot neutral messed up, or ground touching an outlet, or a light switch that was not wired into the light properly, and things that were done quick. Usually in a factory, things are done a lot faster than what they are done. You don't have the same building inspectors looking at a frame, electrical, plumbing. It's a lot quicker, a lot faster, so things get missed.
What a great answer. And on the flip side of that, I'm dogging this manufactured house coming to Breckenridge, but you know what? I've ordered windows in Colorado without breather tubes when I should have too.
Right.
So I tell that story to say, you know, it's
good education, right?
We all make mistakes. And at the end of the day, it's overcoming the fear of what you don't know and learning from that and getting into your wheelhouse and trying not to be all things to all people, but say this technology is something we should all look at. So that's why I tell that story as kind of a lead in to say electrical, anything that of part of the house, whether it's on-site or off-site, electrical can really be a mess if you don't have a good system that comes from your panels to the right breakers to the right person doing it, whether it's off-site or on-site, right?
Yeah, we've troubleshot many stick-built houses just as much as we have modular-type houses.
So that story I say is let's get over the fear for all of us, including myself, and say, hey, there's an option for this, right? And in my day-to-day, I'm saying, well, the modulars are just going to buy the windows direct. Not necessarily. Maybe it could be two pods that we put a big indoor-outdoor living space door system in between. So rethinking all of that is really my challenge of people are asking me, why, Devin, are you adding this System Build Lifestyle podcast to the Art of Construction? Because I want to take a deep dive on this segment that I think has been kind of a sleeping dog for a while, that a lot of people are fearful of it. Mm-hmm. So, Audrey, what would you say to that?
Well, it's interesting because with Modular SureSight, I'm a general contractor. So I have lots of different individuals and different trades that work on our site work, which is really great. And that's kind of how Travis and I had collaborated. So for me, hearing his perspective about it, it's great because I'd rather go in and talk to the homeowner and say, hey, these are things that can happen. Let's just be aware of it. Let's have the conversation instead of walking in and being like, nope, sorry, that's it. You know, so with his perspective and the things that he's done in his experience, it only makes it better. It only makes the conversation easy because as we all know, building is very crazy. It's very stressful. Doesn't matter what type of building you're doing. It's just stressful. So alleviating maybe just one little piece, maybe it's the electrical piece, and having that conversation and saying, slow down, everything's going to be fine, we're going to figure it out. It's always nice to have that conversation.
Yeah, and we love talking tools in the Art of Construction family through SBL. Is you really have to have a good platform and systems. Off air when he came in, he was telling us about his platform with Jobbers. Tell us what that's all about and how you went through that, and we'll put links to that in the show notes to where it's really, whether it's offsite or onsite, you have an easy button to come in and have a conversation, right?
Yeah, so the platform we use is called GetJobber, GET Jobber. We've used a lot of different platforms in what we've done. We've tried them all out, local ones. There was one in Boulder that tried to become the same type of system, and out of, I guess, a process of elimination, we came with Jobber. It's the easiest platform for my customers to use and for my employees to use. Keeps track of my scheduling, my billing, connects with QuickBooks, connects with a bunch of different types of software that you can use. Sends text messages if you want to remind the customer that you're coming. Sends reminders for you daily of what needs to get done, what doesn't need to get done. And for the price point, we've got 10 guys and I spend a little under $200 a month for that system, and geo tracks where your guys are at when they clock in, when they clock out. So time tracking is easy. It takes a lot away from I worked 7 to 3:30 and the handwritten guy might've showed up at 7:30 and left at 3:00. And you know, when you have 10 guys and guys might be eating an hour here or there every day, it adds up at the end of the year. So us as a company, our main goal is to try and cut 10% of the cost a year. Of the waste, I should say, things that materials and labor, and mostly materials and labor, to try and cut that down to where it's cost effective. And the only way to do that is in the digital world now. So that was the best system that we found, and we've tried all of them.
Interesting.
Awesome. And then also back to really the collaboration is if you go back to show 67 on the Art of Construction, I interviewed the founder, Bryce Ballou and Sarah Batani of Tradecraft. That's something you're involved with as well, right?
Correct.
So what made you join Tradecraft, and tell us our SBL audience what that's all about?
Well, our offices have been in Broomfield where I live, not at my house, but in Broomfield. And with Denver being so big, it's not the easiest thing to get a guy from Castle Rock or even Denver to come up to Broomfield to pick up materials and come back down. So we were looking for a centrally located office, central for me, central for my guys, easy to get to, easy off the highway. And I was really just looking at an ad to try and find space. And I was probably I'm the third person to sign up at Tradecraft.
Cool.
I was one of the first offices there. So Tradecraft was just getting launched at that time that I was looking for space. So it was kind of a unique opportunity for us to be where we wanted to be and to have something that was a little bit different. When we first saw Tradecraft, I don't really get involved in too much of the classes or the collaboration, but what they do there with the classes and collaborating with all the rest of the builders and the people there and trying to keep it more as a community works well for a lot of people.
So whether it's the right place, right time, right thing for your business, it's go check out those resources for whatever your small business is and utilize those tools. It doesn't matter what kind of construction it is. You got to have a good system and you have to have a place that fits for your business to do business, right? And you've bought and sold companies and all of those are principal guiding factors for everything, right? So Audrey, what would you say next as your company, Modular SureSite, getting all these companies set up? What are the key kind of factors? And tell us what you're using day-to-day with Modular SureSite to manage your business.
So Travis and I were talking about it because I really think that he's got such a good grasp on this technology part of the business. So currently what I'm using is BuilderTrend, and I use that system or that software because being on the building side, it's great. I can put in a lead. It then transfers over to a build schedule, then transfers over to a purchase order, which he's familiar with. But he had a couple of suggestions on maybe some other things to look at. So I think that's always key in the development. The other great thing about Travis is he comes highly recommended. So a lot of the people that I hire are a lot of the trades. I talk to other people. I have different ways that I look at their references. I really try to check out who we're working with to make sure that they're going to be there, I mean, and do a good job. You know, being a general contractor, you have different parts and pieces and people that are in that little scope of work, and they all have to integrate and work well together. Yeah. So it's a, you know, it's a key component.
So what you're saying is after we get over the fear and set up good systems, then you got to build trust.
You do.
In a place like Tradecraft, it's people that you can trust each other, or a construction software that can communicate through BuilderTrend or referrals and history to where you ask other people, what electrician should I use? Tribe, that is key. Like, be open and honest with people. In a market, especially like Colorado right now, we're not looking for stuff to do. We're having to say no or set up that critical path to where, yeah, an offsite home can be assembled really quick, but there's a backlog, right, to do work. Yeah. So it's finding those systems. It's not saying me as a window supplier, or you as an electrician, don't want to help Modular SureSite. It's saying, how do you have a tool to make sure all of our families that we're trying to feed in our businesses are happy and successful, right?
Yeah, if Audrey wasn't recommended by one of my builders, then it would have been a pass off for me. It would have been here. And here's some guys that might need some extra work. We try and keep our builders happy. So the people that we work with that we like, and as you said, we turn down work. So it's not, we don't work with everybody. The people that we work with continuously and we like that say, hey, can you help this person out, or can you take a look at this? And then that's what we do as a company. We don't actively really go after anybody. It's more referrals and the Tradecraft type. Through Tradecraft, we've worked with a couple of good builders there, and those guys have a few friends and a few people. And so that builds our business without having to advertise or look for something new. And typically the people that recommend this company, usually it's a reputable company. It's not, hey, I don't know this guy, but here's the work.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I grew up, you know, in – crusty contractors says, you got to talk and you got to work with everybody. And I challenge back. It's okay to say no. It's professionally to know your wheelhouse and know what parts you do really well. You know, I see so many electricians that they start being supplier this and lighting that and do all these
different pieces,
different
to the whole
things
thing, yeah.
to that, versus just being the best electrician working with the best builders and the best foundation setup people and so on and so forth. Do you agree that's a good concept to stay in your wheelhouse instead of be everything to everybody?
Yeah, I think you need to be very good at what you do first before you try and do something else. Reason to own an ice cream shop when you're an electrician. You could own a audio visual company or a low voltage company, but yeah, I agree with you. There's enough work now to do for everybody. So if you're really good at what you do, stick with that. And if you want to make more money, just get more customers, not open up a second part of, you know, like I said, an ice cream shop as an electrician or a,
yeah. So over the last 5 years, how has it been for your business? Has it been just a tremendous amount of work? Do you try to keep it scaled down? How do you keep your business, and how is it right now in this Colorado marketplace for you?
I'm a little different than everybody else. A lot of companies that are in the construction want to be the best, the biggest. They want to go after the big builders. They want to go after the big contractors. For us, we want to go after the people that appreciate, they're going to do what they say and pay you when they're going to pay you. So if I sign a contract with you, I'm going to do exactly what I say I was going to do. And I expect you to do the same. So, you know, contracting has been different over the years. You've had big builders that are that think that they're offering subcontractors, they're giving them something. Hey, we're going to have you work for us, so we're giving this to you. You're going to give us better pricing. You're going to be 90-day payment type people. Colorado's changed so much over the last mm-hmm. 5 years that you have you still have the big builders that do a lot of work, but you have a lot of boutique people now.
Yeah.
And when I say by boutique, anybody that does 50 or less houses a year.
Sure.
You get a lot more and a lot more and a lot more. You get superintendents from those huge companies that decide they don't like being part of the corporate life. They're going to go start their own company, and they bring a few of their good people with them. So totally. Over the last 5 years, it's been great, and it's been a little bit different because you get different types of people. You get with it being so busy, you get a lot of new people as well that don't really belong in the construction world that are becoming builders and project managers. But my growth has been based off of what I'm acceptable with who works for me.
Gotcha.
I'm not trying to hire 20 guys because I got a project that just came and then lay those guys off. I like to try and keep my guys long term and keep them working for a while. So if I'm going to take on a project, I need to know that, one, I've got enough guys to do that. And if I hire a guy, he's going to be with me for long term. So any one new guy I hire, I need to, okay, if I'm going to hire 5 guys this month, I need to have work with them for them every 5 months.
That's
I don't
great.
Want to just hire, lay off.
Right.
So it's been good for the last
and
5 years.
And that builds
years.
Trust, right? It builds a team. I mean, isn't that what it's about?
It builds a team, but also it's real hard to keep people in the construction industry. Most people that don't own the company, if a window competitor offered your installers 10% more to install windows for them, you might not have them the next day. Same with us.
Mm-hmm.
An apprentice electrician that makes X amount of dollars might, some other company might offer him a little more because they're really in need, $3, $4, $5 more an hour. And then you just lose a guy the next day. There's no loyalty in that business, and there never really has been. So if you can show guys that you can continue to keep them busy all the time, and paychecks are always on time, you're an easier boss to work with, then you keep a little bit better trust. But it takes a while.
Sure, I would imagine that's true.
So back to the system builder offsite construction, what would be some things from the electrician or even up from there, the subcontractor point of view, people that are working on the job site, i.e. the electrician, the foundation people, what would be some advice to those people listening to say, what is something we really got to work hard on bridging the gap to have these systems come and have a successful project?
On our side, I guess it would be on the electrical side, is knowing all the items needed up front, whether it's an overhead service or an underground service, whether you've had the number one complaint from all electrical companies is how long it takes Excel or one of the power companies to actually get something done. So having a pre-con meeting with somebody from Excel Energy to say, hey, here's the project that we're doing. Here's where it's going. Are you guys going to be overhead or underground? Is your transformer big enough? You see projects a lot where somebody will start to build a house and then talk to Excel, and then Excel comes out and says, hey, we don't have anywhere to drop lines to you guys. It's going to be $7,500 for us to put a new transformer in, and then we're going to have to run underground to your house. And those are costs that usually those people look at the electrician like, hey, we didn't think we were going to have this much money.
Sure.
Our cost is from the house in, not from the house out. So I guess on our side, it's knowing, one, your electrical plan, two, where your power is coming from, three, whether you would want a 200 amp, 150 amp, knowing exactly what you want for your house.
Makes it better.
And then on the other trades, I guess on the plumbing side is knowing where your gas lines are, where your sewer lines are, and coordinating that with your foundation guy, because I guess that's a big issue too. Foundation guy comes in and puts in a foundation, and the plumber comes in and says, hey, where's my clean out in the foundation for my water and sewer? And mm-hmm. foundation guy says, nobody told me. And so it's really back to the builder side of it,
right?
Knowing what you need to prepare to put the house in.
And it's interesting. Yeah, it's such a great answer. And the thing that's interesting for me in the site work part of that is I am now, it's funny because like you said, the builder should be preparing you with that. A lot of the time the builder doesn't give me that type of information. So I'm out there scouting and trying to put all those pieces together, which is, I mean, that's great advice.
Yeah, it's just boiling it down to communication. And we talk about on the art of construction all the time is begin with the end in mind. Like, there's so many people that just look at the plans as just something to give to the building department to throw away.
Right.
And then they're like, ah, forget the electric shop. We'll just walk the site. And it's like, well, then you walk the site and you find out things that don't work.
Yeah.
And that happens on a daily basis with all of us subcontractors. So whether it's on-site or off-site, take the time to have a set of plans that are real, because then the project is going to have a much better chance of being successful. That's the thing that's such a manage of a balancing act of time and money, is people don't want to spend the money on the plans. We'll just figure it out on site. But then you have those problems. The next thing I'd love for you to talk about is the whole smart home, low voltage, wired, wireless. How would you talk about the system build coming in on plugging in not just the big transformer stuff, but the low voltage as well?
You know, on the low voltage side, it's changed so much, and it's been a while since we've done – it's been a few years since we've done a system-built house. So I don't know how they're – how those companies –
Your company currently is not – when I go into the job, it's low voltage is not a part of your day-to-day business, right?
Yes and no.
Yeah, okay.
So it is and it isn't. There's some of our builders that have a low voltage contractor that only does low voltage. It's all they right. do, audio, visual, home theater. And they use those guys consistently. And then there's builders that say, we don't use that. Would you bid it? So we do that in our business, radio raw systems, lighting systems, where you have one control system that operates several different lights, low voltage LED lighting throughout the house. You'll have a main control when you come in the door, one in a few different rooms, and then a main controller on your iPad and in your master bedroom that can turn on multiple lights in the house, outside, inside, heat your hot water heater. There's a lot of different things. So I guess it's such a that part of the smart home is such a individualized system. It would be more on the manufacturer side to work with the buyer that's going to do that to add those in there. And for us, it would just be almost the same type thing, bringing in that, connecting those systems where the walls connect and bringing in a panel outside.
Yeah. When I hear these parallels, it's like, okay, however it's plugged in, whether it's brought to the site or built on the site, when you really look at this from a changing big level perspective, you look at a company like Tesla. You know, Elon Musk, I just finished reading his book. It's an amazing book to hear the story about, you know, how to get the charging stations and how you plug in these cars. If you look at the constructions, there's a lot of similarities there to say, if you're going to be forward thinking and innovative and have a smart house come as an offsite, you better make that smart house be able to be plugged in some way or somehow, right? So all those things are really important for us to think about as we're trying to revolution the system build lifestyle, that you're trying to coordinate all that on the job site.
And I think
right?
that's such a fascinating piece of this dialogue, only because I would love to see more of those types of things happen, right? I would love to see more construction offsite start entertaining these things that we're seeing in these amazing homes right now. And maybe it's there. Maybe, you know, maybe the opportunity's there. I don't know, but I definitely love to see more of that.
Awesome. Well, in closing, Travis, as a learning organization, if there's one thing for all of us out there in the construction field looking at the system build lifestyle, what would be that advice or thing from the electrician's perspective to help them grow their business and revolutionize this?
Have a good builder. My number one thing for everybody is trust the builder that you have and who you're working with.
Well said. Well, thanks for coming in and telling us your story, Travis.
Thank you.
It was great listening to you. Thank you.
Think great things that we talked about for all construction, but yet make us think to step outside of that box and say, let's make a system build house come and let's talk about how those easy plugins come together.
I think it's great too. It's always nice to be able to get the perspective of the person that actually is doing the work, to be able to know these are the kinds of questions you want to ask. These are the things that may go wrong. But again, it all comes back down to communication.
Thanks, Tribe, and now we're building this thing up. We'd love your feedback as we continue to build out the SBL podcast as a sister to the Art of Construction, and hopefully this is bringing another perspective as we release these show nows every week, so each show every other week. Let us know what you think. Who do you think would be the right guest? My call to action as we keep giving to you, give back. Let us know what we're doing.
Let's hear what you would like to know more of about system builds. Where's the areas that we can bring in guests or people that may give you some different perspectives? We'd love to hear from you.
All right, SBL Revolution, lock and load.